Amen. All right, Lord, we just thank you so much for this awesome time together with the brothers and sisters. Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit lead and guide us in all things tonight, Lord. And I'm just especially looking to have an awesome night with you, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for leading and guiding and talking through us to say the things that you'd have us to say. Father, I praise you for helping us to overcome these trials that we've gone through and to come out on the other side as victors. And as we know, we will, Lord, because we know your word says that we will. And we are standing in faith, Father, to overcome and be overcomers so that we can help other people be overcomers. And we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for making disciples out of us. And as disciples, we'll make other disciples. We'll beget disciples as time rolls on. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you for the authority that you've given us in your wonderful covenant. And we praise you, Lord, for working in us to do and to operate in the gifts of the Spirit at all times. We thank you for the maturity that you're putting on us, Lord, that you're making a wonderful man and woman of God out of each and every one of us, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that we are the elect. And I praise you, Father, that we're humble. And we're not only humble, Lord, we know where our power resides. It resides with you, Lord. We know that we have access to your throne, that every time we pray, Father, we have an open heaven, and we just know and we believe, Lord, that every prayer that we pray is answered in a positive way. And we praise you, Father, for all the healings, all the deliverances, all the provisions, and overcoming the circumstances as well, Lord, and we praise you for it, and all the protection that you have afforded all of your called and elect, Lord. And I praise you for it, Father, that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. All right. Glory to God. Man, I feel better all over than I do anywhere else. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Who's got a prayer request or a testimony or a praise report? Go ahead, Barbara.
Hi, everyone. yeah, I got a praise report. Yesterday, I was having chest pains, and it started in the morning. It lasted all day, all night. And I just praise the Lord because I wasn't in any fear, and I just kept speaking the good report and, you know, quoting the word. And I'm just, I just praise the Lord for that. And I did talk to Missy, and Missy prayed with me. And anyway, so I got up this morning, and they were gone. They just, it's gone. So praise the Lord. I'm healed. Amen.
Yes, you are. Yeah. Praise God forevermore.
What I was excited about the most was normally something like that would have got me into fear or something, you know, thinking the worst or whatever. And I didn't. And that's, to me, that was, you know, amazing in itself, you know.
Amen.
So I just thank the Lord. Amen. The work he's thank doing you, in Father. Me. Praise you, Father.
Amen. That is so good to hear, Barbara.
Yeah.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Amen. Amen. You stay in there, girl. You'll be fine. Hey, Petra. I hadn't seen you in a long time. Still ain't seen you, but we can at least look at you. Name. Glory to God. There you are.
This is what I look like.
I know what you look like.
Okay. you miss me in flesh, but not in spirit. I'm always present.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, God bless you. Good to have you with us tonight.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. It's such a blessing always to be here. I miss you. Hi, everybody. I just love you guys so much. It's just so nice to be here. Yeah. I can't wait to be with you forever and ever.
Amen. We're going to have a big party up there.
Man, and the barbecue. Guess
who's going to be the host? Jesus. Uh-huh. Jesus going to be the host.
Yeah. Yeah.
Greg says we love us too.
Yeah, we love you. We love you too.
He said us. All right, Geneva. Go ahead, girl.
Okie dokie. So try to make a long story short here, but just prayer and I agree with Petra too, like love you guys a lot, and it is so comforting to know that we have this ministry and just so thankful to be a part of it. On Sunday I wrote out a birth plan because I was told to make a birth plan, and I sent it to Michael and I sent it to Julie and I sent it out to my family and stuff, and I just asked everybody to pray over it. And basically, you know what most people do is they write like what they want to happen and what they don't want to happen on there. But I just wrote a bunch of scriptures because that's what I feel like the Lord told me to do, because I'm not going to make a plan for a just in case, because there is no just in case. You know, the Lord is the first plan, middle plan, and right. The end plan. So,
you go, girl.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Of course, you know, when you claim faith and you have bold faith, you end up having trials. So I go to work the next day and so many people from work was like, oh my gosh, you're still here. Like, when's your due date? And I'm like, well, it's next Monday. And they're like, tell me all these, gosh, just like so many horror stories about when they had their babies and all the things that happened and how they had to be transported to this place and all this stuff. And I'm just like, you know, really, I haven't told too many people that I'm doing it natural because I don't want that fear spoken over me. I told them, I would be like, well, it's going to be perfect. And I told them all, like, I'm trusting in the Lord. They kind of look at me funny, you know, and then they go on about, well, you need to have a backup plan. And it gets frustrating because you want to be like, well, didn't you hear what I just said? But I feel like the Lord put it on my heart to have grace. And, you know, most of the time people want to have the last word. So I just had grace and just smiled, and because I already know what I proclaimed. The Lord knows my heart. And so anyways, then today I had an appointment with my midwife, and my midwife is a Christian and she's been really great this whole time. But she still has that medical side of her, you know, and I know that the Lord has delivered us all of that in a pharmakia, and we know we don't need that. I was tried today because she took my blood pressure and she said I had super high blood pressure, and she said that with that, you know, she was like, you really need to get this down because your due date's just like 5 days away or so. She was like, and this could lead to like a hospital transport. And man, I felt like fear try to come over me. And I was just like, gosh, like, here we go again, like another trial. And I'm like, man. And then I thought about it and I was like, Lord, like, this is all part of your will. Like, we got to be crucified for your name's sake. And, you know, I got to carry this cross because I know it's not true. It's not true. It's just a trial of my faith once again. And I text Julie, and thank God Julie sent me an awesome prayer and stuff. And I talked to Isaac for a little bit, and Isaac was telling me just about, you know, basically about how the Lord's kind of shown him some things that are similar, you know, and just to carry the cross. And so I just want to pray, and I want you all to believe with me that this is gone and it's done, and there is no high blood pressure. I'm not going to transfer. You know, we didn't spend all this time, all this, you know, everything we've done for a week before to all of a sudden, here we go. Like, that's not going to happen. This child is going to be birthed by Jesus. And that's what he showed me in the vision. And that's what this birth plan says. And I just want to thank the Lord. I know I talk about the baby all the time, but, you know, it's kind of prevalent in my life right now. So anyways, I just want to say a prayer and you all agree with me. And anybody who wants prayer afterward too. Dear Jesus, first of all, Lord, just thank you for who you are and for everything you've always done, Lord. You've always been so faithful, God, and you're such a good father, Lord. And Jesus' words can't even explain, even if I was to try. But Lord, I just thank you that you've always been long-suffering with us, Father. And Lord, throughout these 9 months, Jesus, you have been by my side the whole entire time, leading the way, Lord, and showing me what to do. And I just thank you, Jesus, for that. And God, I cast down any strongholds, any words, any manipulation, witchcraft, anything of that sort, Father, that is trying to come against me and what you've already laid out, Father. Lord, you are our rock, Jesus. And I thank you, God, that, Lord, you are solid, Father, and that, God, what you say, Lord, is what happens and what goes, Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, this birth is going to go perfect, that I'm going to have the water birth that I believe for and that you have given me in the vision, Jesus, naturally. And Lord, I just thank you, Father, and I rebuke any imaginations or any thoughts that try to come to my mind, Father, that try to put fear and anxiety over me, God, because you delivered me of that, Father, this past month and so forth. I have felt so much joy and peace. And Jesus, I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, it's just going to continue to increase. And Lord, I just put it in your hands, Father, and I'm going to be at complete peace in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done. And just praise you, Father. Amen. And I also wanted to say, too, Morgan brought up a really good point. He said, Janita said, you know, I'd almost be worried if you didn't have a trial of your faith after you had such an awesome birth plan like that. He goes, that just shows the Lord heard your prayer. And he knew that what you said has come to pass and it's done. He goes, so praise God for these trials because it's just evident. Anyways, that made me feel good too. So, yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's the right attitude. Lord, we thank you that when you're the plan A, that's all the plan that happens is your plan. And we praise you, Father, that she's going to have an easy, the very birth that she's thought about having, that's what's going to happen in Jesus' name. We hook our faith up with her and believe with her everything that she has prayed is going to come to pass, just like she knows it is. And we praise you, Father, for being our God. A God that has easy births. And we praise you for it, Father. We know that baby's going to be fine and Geneva's going to be fine. Daddy's going to be happy. And thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, Greg, go ahead, brother.
All right. Geneva, I can tell you exactly how to deal with that. First of all, the birth is due to happen on Monday. What time, please?
A good point, Greg. She's going to come whenever she comes, I guess. So, you know, they say.
Okay, sorry, I thought you had a plan, that's all. No. Okay, now, with regard to with regard to the stories that people tell you, and look, women generally, not this women of faith here, but women generally, you know, when there's a birth happen, they roll up and they tell their battle stories. Oh, I was in labor for 96 hours and then a foot came out and then a head came in and all that stuff, right? This is how you deal with it, right? You let them tell their story. And you sit there and listen quietly to them. But when they finish, you just say this. You say, well, you obviously didn't do it right. And walk away.
All right, I will try that.
I've done that. I actually did that. The birth of my children was, you know, it was like an hour and a half, you know. And they would come and do that because they're not talking to me anyway because I was the father, so I'm irrelevant at that point to them. But I would, you know, they would come and tell their stories and I would say, well, you obviously didn't do it right. But on Monday when happens, you will go, is that it? Is that all it is? Just saying.
Praise the Lord. I believe it. Thank you, Jesus.
And I know it sounds about me being funny, but that's what's going to happen.
Amen. I believe it. Obviously didn't.
Tracy's hands up. Doing.
Tracy?
Oh, shut up.
You go, girl.
Well, praise the Lord. I have to say that, too. I was 25, just speaking to our sister there. I was 25 when I had my son. And I I have to emphasize, I did not know the Lord at all. But I was always kind of a tomboy at the time. You know, I was kind of a tough chick. I would barely complain about anything. I had a high pain tolerance. And oh my gosh, all these other women were like, you know, showing me their scars. And it was bad, just like what you're saying. It was terrible. Every time, you know, they're like, are you nervous? And I'm thinking, well, yeah, I've never done this before. But, you know, almost every person had to tell me the worst possible outcome. And, you know, now I know it was Satan, but, you know, I wasn't saved at the time. And I promise you, I expected the worst. I really did. I expected to like barely be alive afterward by, you know, by the time all these ladies were telling me their experiences. But I promise you, I got in there and I did have an epidural. Like I said, I didn't know the Lord, you know, I wasn't praying or anything like that. But when they came in to say, do I even want this? It wasn't even that bad. And I'm like, oh, sure, why not? You know, and the whole thing was just so quick and easy. And I promise you, the worst thing I was on my mind was I was hungry. I really wanted a you know, turkey sandwich or something. So yeah, don't believe the evil report. I would not, you know, the Lord's definitely going to make a way for you. And there's just a lot of people, I believe, that want to, you know, complain about it because they can, you know, and also the way people ate when they were pregnant. I ate really well, you know, but, and there's some women that get pregnant and they gain like, you know, just, they take advantage of it, you know, it is. So anyways, God bless you. And I'm praying for you, sister, and expect the best. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Tracy. I appreciate that.
Amen. Amen. People are funny, aren't they? They always want to tell you the worst of everything rather than the best of everything, what they should be saying. Lord our God. Thank you, Father. Yeah, I'd like that answer that Greg gave. Yeah, well, yeah, obviously y'all didn't have the right thing written down, what plan written down. Amen. All right, anyone else? Hey, Ben, how's it going, buddy? You and Andrew doing all right? Okay, praise God. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Ray and June. Hi, y'all, it is.
Hi. I just wanted to say to Geneva, the words you spoke were powerful, and it mightily blessed you and your baby. There's no question about it. You're very pleasing to the Lord, and he is going to be by your side every moment, as you must know.
Yes, thank you. Were.
Amen.
Ben, did you get that chat text that Greg sent you? Oh, my. It never stops in this fellowship. It just keeps on rolling. Praise God. All right, Petra, go ahead, girl.
I just want to say I don't know why I miss out on this. It's so much fun. I'm never going to sleep in again. And I just want to ask Julie. She's always our messenger. Geneva, I just want to confirm what that every time you speak, you just bless me. And I wish I could just throw up the hearts or the thank yous or the whatever, but you're just such a blessing with everything that you say every time I hear you speak. So God is going to bless you as well. It's going to be an amazing, amazing experience that you go through. And I just want to ask you that either Isaac or your husband text Julie, that Julie can just send out the messages that we can just rejoice with you after the birth, that we can just all go down on our knees and pray and say thank you and be happy with you, please.
Yes, I sure will. Thank you so much, Petra. I appreciate that.
Thank
yeah,
you.
I plan on getting on here and y'all are going to see me.
Amen.
Said and done, I will be. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Geneva, you're a blessing. Now, don't let this get to your head, girl. I'm just saying. Glory to God. No, you are. Both you and your brother. husband and wife. They're all blessing like everybody else in here too. All right, who's next? Who's next? Carol, did you want to pray about the trucker thing up there or no?
Yeah, yes, I'm going to add that in. I want to give a praise at the same time of a couple of things. Okay. One, my little sister that came to the Lord not long ago. God has me like praying with her daily, keeping close. And this weekend she, and you know, her husband's not a believer, and was led to pray for her one of the nights when she was going through terror. But this, and he's been fully vaccinated. Okay. She's not, he is. And his position was he was going to continue to be vaccinated. And then suddenly this particular Sunday, they had friends over. Their friends were so filled with fear, all about vaccination, all against the convoy. And God was just filling her with such peace. And she was observing, she was seeing the fear and terror on people. And so she stood her position and explained why. Okay. And they're like, so they turned to her husband because they wanted that other person to say, yes, get your vaccination. You know how fear feeds fear, right? And so they turned to Guy and they say, so Guy, are you going to get your third shot? And here's the big kicker. He said, no way. He absolutely... Oh. He's been and he was resisting the convoy situation initially, but he's been watching my sister get so much hope from watching this that he started to just sit next to her. So he's seeing something and it's amazing. Anyway, we're claiming him. We're calling him forth to Jesus.
Amen.
I'm also calling forth her friends that are so in terror. They were in shock. My sister said that she said, it's a good thing I was sitting down. I think I would have fallen. I'm like that. When my husband answered that, she was so in shock. So this was amazing. And then the second, I guess my sharing right now is really about how powerful our Lord is, which of course we know, but how powerful he is in our group and in our prayers. He is so present right now. We must keep standing strong. So second, number two, someone, a friend of mine who is not vaccinated and is also a believer in Jesus and a Christ follower, she goes through struggle, double-minded a little bit. But and she wrote to me this morning saying that the job that she had, they're shifting her into another department because whatever. But she was still on probation. And then she got a letter saying that she had to absolutely be doubly vaccinated to get this job. So she wrote to me, I guess, a little scared. And I've been just in praise and prayer all day because it's my day off Tuesday. Thank you, Jesus, for the day off. And I've been praying for the convoy and crazy Trudeau and all of this stuff. And then her. Well, tonight, just before joining the group, she called me and she said, I don't know what you did, but Jesus showed up. He absolutely reversed this letter. The HR goes, oh no, yeah, you really have to get your vaccination. But her boss said, no, talk to HR, you won't have to. And the HR goes, well, let me transfer you to the HR COVID specialist. I'm not even kidding. They have an HR COVID specialist now. So she's transferred there and they're looking at this and they say, oh no, you're already an employee. You're with us before this date. It's people that come in after this date. She says, but your letter says. And I say to Sandra, I said, why are you arguing with them? She said, I think I was so shocked, so sure I was going to have to be vaccinated. I said, look at that. I said, we are so crazy. Why would we doubt when Jesus shows up? Anyway, so basically, no, she does not have to get the vaccination and she will get this job. That is what's happening. And in Canada, well, everybody kind of knows what's happening in Canada, We now have the Emergency Act that's been that's being activated. So it's like Trudeau will have the right to seize the bank accounts and all these things. But this has to happen, goes through four stages. But it's I think it's waking up the premiers. They're going, wait a minute, whoa, these are peaceful people and we can't really be releasing the army against them and attacking. So there's a big change that's happening. So our premier in Quebec has said, okay, we're going to start lifting the mandates and we're not going to put pressure of passports on people. Ottawa, he flipped forward. He flipped from Friday to today, totally different person. Changed face, transformed the softness in his face. And he says, okay, enough is enough. We're not doing this. We're not with Trudeau on this. That's going to be the prayer that we continue to pray that, and we must pray for the protection, which I think, Michael, you know, there is a true story about guns that have been stolen and released near the truckers. Okay. First, I thought it was fake news, but then God sent one of the truckers message to me and he says it is true, guns have been stolen and they've been released near us. Pray for our protection, that's not an excuse for Trudeau to come in and get them and blame the guns on them, or to release the guns near the angry people. Let's just call them the angry people that don't want, that they want to force us to be vaccinated. So Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for these brave people that have stood up through their big giant vehicles and their very big giant hearts and the unity and the love that is present in these gatherings, that I see the strategy of an army behind this. I see the strategy of a steadfastness of your love, Lord, in the hearts and in the move of this that is. I see also the evil that's happening through Trudeau, but his evil, how you're turning it for good, it's uniting the people. Whatever is love is being ignited right now. Whatever is not of you, well, that's manifesting as well. But I see this beautiful wall of fire that you are creating through our prayers around this movement for freedom that is being propelled out into the whole world right now, that all the people are praying, they're learning how to pray. And I know your name is behind this. I know your army is behind this. I see it, Lord, and I thank you. I thank you for the provision. I thank you, the hearts of the people yesterday when they, on Valentine's Day, the movement people were bringing roses to the police officers. It was magnificent. In Alberta, they were singing O Canada again, and they were hugging the police officers. Father, I pray for the police officers. I pray for their heart to continue to serve and protect your children. And I thank you that you will protect them as well and protect their heart from the tyrannical spirit. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the hearts of the people at UBM praying for the entire world to know your love. I thank you. I lift up your name. I thank you, Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Heavenly Father. And I thank you, all of the angels that are being activated in our prayers to continue to draw children. I pray for the families, our family members. I'm watching my family. God, I asked, and I'm giving a little bit of a speech here to my brothers and sisters about what you gave to me about that. I said, you know, Lord, did my sister really accept you? I mean, you couldn't even help. You couldn't, in your ground when you were here on earth, it was exactly, I was here on earth, but now I'm in heaven. I sent the Holy Spirit and I promised you guys would do even greater things. That's what this is. When we pray for our family members, Lord, that they would see the love of Christ, that we would be there in a time of crisis like you did with my sister. You raised up the terror in her life and you put this boldness on me to just know she's going to be okay, to know that you are calling each one of us through the terrors. At the same time, I want to say to the blood pressure on Geneva, since I'm in prayer right now, it was on my heart before. I'm just saying, blood, be still. The blood of Jesus runs through her veins. The pressure is under Jesus' control. Thank you for your peace, Lord, on her and the baby and her entire body, head to toe, her soul. And that baby's just going to pop out and say, hey, hi, mama. Thank you, Lord. That's how amazing you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Didn't I see where the chief of police in Ottawa resigned?
He did. He did. He was one of the, I guess, bullies. But it's funny because during an interview, there was, boy, God really showed me a lot of stuff today about that. There was the truckers were saying, yeah, it's probably, you know, good that he did resign because he's been very unjust. And the reporter had a heart. He said, could it be that maybe he was unjust because he was so pressured from above and that maybe he had a change of heart and that he's actually for you guys? And the trucker went, oh, that makes total sense. I went, oh, that's God yeah. again, too. Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Thank yeah. you, Lord. All right. All right, Rayon or Claire.
I put a text in.
What happened?
Sorry, I'm on my phone. Hello, everyone. And I didn't see the big fat mute button in the left corner. blessings to you all. It was wonderful to hear your prayers. Carol, thank you so much for lifting up the body. Saints, I have a request for my mom. She's been texting me and voice noting me for the past week, just about all her general malaise. And I didn't really know what to do with it because I think sometimes she doesn't know how far gone I am from all of that. So I said to her, I just put it to her in a voice note. I said, Mom, would you like me to take your afflictions to the Lord? I said, because I can. I said, but I'm also part of a fellow. She knows that I'm part of a fellowship community, but it's sometimes her brain doesn't allow her to retain that information. So I said to her, you know, we're part of a fellowship where we see healings and deliverances and miracles and the Holy Spirit moving in a mighty way all the time. Would you like me to take this to them and we can pray for you? And she just unleashed a whole long prayer list. So now my mom's not filled with the Holy Spirit, but she has had a heart change in that I believe she has been. Yeah, she's definitely got the Spirit of Christ in her. She just doesn't know about everything else, like most, you know, like most Christians. So I'm going to pray. And it goes for my dad, too, because she put his afflictions to me as well. And I'd like you all to agree with me. I've prayed for this on my own, but I just want to make good on what I said to her, that I was going to take it to the body. And yeah, I'm believing for amazing things to come because the Lord hears our prayers and he answers them. So here we go. Lord, you are good beyond measure. There is nothing that is too hard for you. Your arm is not too short to save, and there is no place dark enough, evil enough, hidden enough for your love not to shine through. And Father, with knowing that and with believing that, I come to your throne of grace, Lord, humbly in complete reverence of your goodness, Father, and I ask you to hear my prayers and to hear my faith for my parents, that you may send forth the angel arm, or I can send them forth, but that you would make good on these things. Father, my parents have been laboring under these spirits of affliction for a long time, and I love them and I'd love to see them be set free. That's what you said. You said your son has come to set the captives free. And I believe it. So, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, in his nature, character, and authority, I command the spirit of eczema off my mum and dad right now in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter where it was picked up. It doesn't matter why it's manifesting. But I command you off. I command the itching to stop and cease in the name of Jesus. There is no place for you on their bodies, because their bodies are soon to be temples of the living God, and those bodies must be made clean, praise God. Father, I command the spirit of anxiety, worry, fear, doubt, and unbelief off my mother and father right now. Your days are numbered, you filthy spirits. Do you not know? Haven't you heard? You have been conquered. There is nothing that stands in the way of these people receiving the full truth and love of Jesus, the King. I command the menopausal symptoms that are lying, that seek to kill and destroy the fabric of woman's faith. I command that of my mother and any other female who I love in the name of Jesus right now. There is no place for you. Hot flashes, whatever they're called, must be gone right now. Her body is no longer under the curse. She has been bought with a price. She is redeemed. She has been made whole. She is sanctified. Father, I pray that you would give them eyes to see and hear, ears to hear of your goodness, of your perfect work in Christ, who conquered sin and death, who conquered aging, who conquered poor ligaments, who conquered sore and tired muscles. I break the curse of aging off of my parents right now in the name of Jesus. And I loose the spirit of youthful revitalization into their bones, into their very DNA. Father, I pray this in faith. I pray it expecting to see a mighty change in them, to hear in their voices that they have been renewed. Father, I pray that you would send someone to them who knows of the Holy Spirit's goodness and the giftings thereof and the sign thereof, and that that would be imparted to them, Lord, in a mighty way. Father, thank you that we can tarry. Thank you that we can rest. Thank you that we can pray. Thank you that we can be sober and watchful, because the enemy prowls around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. But there will be no more devouring of my family. Get your hands off of them. They are not of the world. They are only in it. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Lord, everything that she prayed, I agree, and everybody in here agrees, right? In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you that it is done. We declare and decree it as finished for her parents, that they are cleansed from all of these tormenting demons in Jesus' name. Glory to God, glory to God. We just praise you, Father, that we're going to see a miracle in Claire's parents in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for her and all the people around them. They're going to see a mighty miracle here. Father, we just ask that you fill them up with the Holy Spirit. We praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we just ask that you place it in their heart to want to be filled with the Spirit, that overcoming power. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Yes, Lord, we thank you for reversing the aging process in the name of Jesus, in all of us, in Jesus' name. All right, Claire, that is done. Girl, I believe it.
Amen, Michael. Thank you.
Amen. All right, Greg.
I want to pray about a lot of things all of a sudden. I'm going to circle back to the convoy thing. And for Canada, not just Canada, by the way, in the 23rd, if you don't know, the US starts up their convoy thing from various points. There are things happening in the UK. Look, let me just pray about some of these places. Lord, I just want to, well, first of all, stand with the others, you know, the others here, and pray for the nations that these people, seemingly out of the blue, have gathered together. And Lord, credit to Canada and those Canadians who did something and inspired other parts of the world. Lord, for this one that is setting up in the US, and I thank you for all of them that I know of, that their pretense is to be peaceful and honorable in what they do. And I know that you you honor that, Lord. And I just don't just think of the US and Canada, but I know the things that are happening in the UK and things that are happening outside Scotland Yard and those things that are happening in various countries in Europe. Lord, I know it's remarkable. Despite the silence that I hear from mainstream media, etc., for the people in Canberra and in Wellington in New Zealand, Lord, I want to ask that a wisdom would pervade them all in how they conduct themselves, that you would give them protection from the tactics of the men and women on the other side, who are doing things with sound, some curious things with sound. Lord, you have told us, and that, you know, when this thing breaks, it will be such a thing that people will have no doubt that it was you. Lord, I just want to ask that this would be hastened. Lord, that people's scales would fall from people's eyes, left, right, and center, and people would wake up. Lord, we need you to be, and I'm sure you're already at work at this in ways, to do the purging. There is so much that needs to go and so much that needs to board out. And yes, Lord, there are nations that need to hit the knees and repent to you. Mine included, and states and cities, etc. Lord, for those of us, those in the ecclesia, have us ready. Lord, give us the ability, supernaturally even, to receive those who call out for you. And yes, Lord, I just want to echo what Claire prayed for her parents. And Lord, I declare this to the enemy, that you give us authority, you invite us to come onto the glassy sea and to intercede for those who don't know how to pray for themselves yet. So, Lord, you know, we hear and intercede, and we pass this to our great mediator, Jesus, to intercede for those things that were mentioned for Claire's mother and father, and, Lord, other mothers and fathers, mine included, and sons and daughters and sisters and brothers and friends. Lord, that your harvest would be complete. And yes, Lord, as it says in the word, that you would send workers out. Lord, I just want to reiterate prayers I prayed this morning and that I've said before for a family in Brazil, Lord, for Senor Lewis, that you would continue to draw him and have his wife, Senora Sonia, follow her. And that you would call, you would bring Carolina back home. What else needs to be covered? That'll do. Amen. Over to you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anyone else? Hey, Isaac. Mariana. All right. Hey, bud, what are you doing? All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share or pray or? Yeah, David.
Trying to lower my hand here. There we go. Oh, I did want to pray for our relatives, the ones that did get vaccinated, just because I posted that article, and it's not good for vaccinated people. Lord, I ask that you, your grace, and all our relatives and all those that you know, you want to us to pray for that are in your kingdom that have received a vaccination, because it looks like it's going to be a slow process of reversal for their immune system to, and some are faster than others, and it's going to make them the way they have no immunity at all for anything. And this is the death shot. They may not know it now, but hopefully, Lord, that will get out fast, that this is what has happened. This is what they've done. And we can hold these people accountable that have tried to kill billions of people, millions and billions, so that it comes out, Lord. But in the meantime, we want to pray for the relatives that did receive this shot, your grace on them, that they're not going to be compromised, that they repent and they come to you, and you receive their repentance and give them the grace, and take away what the cankerworm and the, all those terrible demons have stole from them, Lord, and their life. We pray that you bring them back whole, not only bring back their youth, bring back their health. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. I believe with David. Lord, just save our families that have taken this shot. We thank you, Father, that our prayers mean something to you. We just thank you, Father, that our siblings, our families that have taken this shot are immune from the devastation that they planned for everybody, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All right, Sunil. Yes, they are.
I like prayer for a pastor who's been arrested. I put the details in the chat.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. We'll believe what you.
I like someone of you to pray.
Okay. All right. That's the one you. Let me see. I've got to go back, check, see what he did. Arrested.
The pastor. I know the guy.
Okay, Greg, go ahead.
All right. And I can't think of his surname, Sunil, if you remember it, but I know it's very hard to pronounce. But his first name was Arthur. But Lord, yes, I'm aware of this man and his stand from way back when they wanted to close down churches. And he called them Nazis. He kicked them out of his church. Lord, I've got to honor that zeal. And yes, Lord, this man has been in the forefront and stood up to people, and they police forces and systems that seek to make life very hard for him and for his family. Lord, be glorified through him. Lord, we pray that he would come out of there, absolutely. But Lord, bigger than that all your purpose would be achieved, that you would hold him together and bring him out stronger, that this would be nothing other than a growth curve for him and for those who look to him and see you. Amen. Does that cover it, Sunil?
Amen. Yeah, let me, can I pray for
you? You have my permission, Michael.
Yeah, I want to pray for him. Thank you. Lord, we lift up this preacher and his time in prison or jail or whatever he's in, Lord. Let him change. If he's a Saul to a Paul, bring him into the Paul relationship with you, Lord. Let it be a time that you will be able to talk with him and show him. I don't know what his faith is. I don't have a clue, but you do. And I'm asking you to bring him out a humble, loving, knowledgeable man in the scriptures. You showed Paul things, and I'm asking you to show this man that he would come out with a powerful message, Father, from you. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Y'all believe that? Preacher man, you come out being a Paul in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We declare and decree it. Okay, Rion. I don't know. Pat, Go ahead, Rion.
Sorry, it's Claire.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. I'll just tell you and then we can pray. We met a lady yesterday. Right now we're at a homeschool camp, and so she came with her boy, and within three sentences she told us that she's a Christian, which is so marvelous, because you know there's hardly any. And we got chatting, and she was so full, like she's a baby Christian. Like she told us straight off the bat she got baptized 2 years ago. She was brought up in the Catholic faith, like so sweet. And just earlier in the morning, like there was another family that we were chatting to, and I kept on praying in the spirit that the Lord would lead me to Orion or one of our kids to, you know, to just have an opportunity to share. And the Lord just shut me up, which I'm always grateful for. And we got back and we were washing dishes and stuff. And I said to Rianne, you know, I have to trust that I've been led by the Lord, because I would love to give those people the gospel, but I don't want to do it against the Lord's leading, you know? And he said to me, as he, you know, he's a very faithful man. And he just said, the Lord knows who his own are, and he will put the right people in place. So anyway, fast forward to a few hours later, and this lady says, oh, she's been baptized as an adult. And she's like really going on about it, you know? And we were so, I just said, oh, welcome, sister. And I gave her a hug, and it was so nice. And then I said to her, this is the Holy Spirit leading, right? Because I said to her, may I ask if you've also been baptized with the Holy Spirit? And she was like, oh, I don't know. And so she asked so many questions, and we got to share. And, you know, what does that mean? And what does it look like? And I think I did share with you last week about how dismal my, you know, my language was for the longest time. Praise be to God, because that is such a comforting thing for somebody who doesn't even know about third languages, right? Like it doesn't have to be all, you know, all fireworks and newness. So as long as you endure. So anyway, so we were talking, and then we left them because they got hungry and they wanted to go eat. And we got back to camp, and I said to Rianne, oh, have we done it again? Have we done that South African thing where we're just so direct and we're so pushy and we just, you know, go? And he's like, no. He's like, that was completely led by the Spirit. And then I saw her again later in the afternoon, and I said, I just went up to her and I'm like, listen, I didn't want to offend you. I'm sorry. She goes, no, you've got no idea how much you guys inspired me. I got back to my camper van and I started reading my Bible, and I'd really like to talk about this more. Oh, praise God. So I would just love, because turns out she's in like obviously a Baptist church, and you know that I don't know anything about these denominations, never really cared to find out all that much about it. But a lot of you know what the strongholds are there. So if you could just pray for her, but I'm going to say a prayer right now, because the thing is we're here at this thing that the Lord said we should come to. And man, is there denominationalism? I don't know. It was like this, but it is. And there's people talking about pre-trib and wow, so much stuff. So I'm going to pray. Lord, thank you for putting Kira on our path. And Father, she loves you so much. And I can see that she trusts you so much. And Lord, just to the testimonies of how she got her camper van and everything has just worked out so well for her. And Father, you draw those who belong to you. Father, I pray that you would, if you need to use Rianne and I this week, that you would give us the words to say and the heart of love to share more about your Holy Spirit, Lord, about who you are. And that, you know, if there comes more from it, that would be wonderful, Father. We also pray and unbind this factious harlotry in the name of Jesus. It will not touch us. It will not doubt. It will not cause any more division among your elect. I loose the angels over this campsite to protect the ones that belong to you and to shut the ones that don't up. And Father, I pray that you would give us spirits of peace and love. Please give us, Father, more of your anointing, more of your Holy Spirit. Fill us, Lord, with the fresh anointing. Revive our hearts so that we can walk as oracles of truth and we can live as the love of Christ in these mortal bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for this lady in Jesus' name. Is she married? Did you say she was married?
So I think before her new life, I don't know if she was married, but she doesn't have a husband and she's got a little son who told my kids immediately that he's a Christian and he loves Jesus. He's the same age as Tabitha, so 9. And so I'm just so blessed by that. And awesome. I don't know, my faith is there that her husband's already waiting for her. Like, God doesn't want us to do this alone. So I'm praying that she's going to find a godly husband very, very soon. And he's just going to knock on that camper van and they're going to be restored and whole and beautiful.
Amen. I believe it with you too. Go ahead, Judy.
I'd like to add to that prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Kara. Thank you for this divine encounter that you provided for her with Rian and Claire, Lord. And I pray that the Holy Spirit continue to work and make the ground fertile there, Lord, to receive all the truth, because your word says those who receive us receive you. And we just pray blessings on Kara, Lord, that the ground is fertile and that she is hungry for the truth and that she is being drawn by you. And agreeing with Claire's prayer, Lord, that the enemy can't touch her and not going to interfere, and that every lie and deception of denominationalism is falling off of her. Every spirit of religion is bound and commanded to leave her. And Lord, we ask, Father, that you just touch her heart and her mind, give her ears to hear and eyes to see. And you always protect your little ones, your little babies that are in the churches, Father, those playpens, as has mentioned, that they are like to him. They're like playpens, and nobody can get harmed in there. They're just being protected in those places. But when it's time for her to come out, Lord, that she is going to be eager and running out the door from that place and following Jesus out into her own wilderness. And that anointing, when it comes upon her from the Holy Spirit, Lord, is going to be very evident. She's going to be filled with much love and joy and peace and a hunger and a thirst like she's never had before. We pray blessings on Claire and Rian, Lord, that you continue to give them grace and wisdom, discernment, your leading, patience and kindness and gentleness, and all of your just Jesus in them, Lord, that they're going to be a light there and continue to be a light there, and anyone else that you have for them to minister to. And we pray blessings upon them, Lord, and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I agree with both women. I believe it, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to answer all of these prayers for this young lady. And we thank you, Father, for doing that for her and her child. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Pat.
I'd just like to add to that. Father, I thank you for all the prayers that have been offered up for Kara, Lord, but I'm asking also that you would protect her innocence in this time and where she's at right now, and that you would strengthen her confidence and love and trust in your word. And whatever else that she hears that is contrary to that word, would you allow her to see it and understand it and put it away, to stiff arm it by the Spirit, Lord, and to accept and trust and lean upon your word as that final authority in her life. Lord, we thank you for that. We just pray that you would also fill her with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and give her your perspective on the word, give her your perspective on and guide her through this path. We thank you, Lord, for bringing her into contact with Rion and Claire. And Lord, we just trust you for the work that you're doing in their hearts. So we thank you for that, Lord. Father, I'd also ask that for Claire's parents, Lord, a very simple thing, that Lord, that you would show them, bring them back to understanding how to believe you, just how to simply believe you and trust your word. And I thank you for it, Lord. I pray that you break down the bondages and the fears and the struggles that they have, and that you would, Lord, open up their eyes and allow them to see these struggles and these unbeliefs, these doubtings that they may be struggling in, or simply ignorances of your word. But Lord, just bring them into a place of understanding and desire, just to know the reality of your truth and your touch and your presence in their life. Lord, we just command light into their heart and shatter the darkness and spring forth life and hope within them to trust you, to trust your word. Lord, give them an encouragement and an excitement for being able to find you in a new way, find your word true in a new way. Teach them how to believe, Lord, and we thank you for it. And Father, I pray for, it's been a whole potpourri of different things tonight, Lord, but I feel led just to thank you for the things that you're doing in Canada, with the trucker movement and all these people, the rumblings, the shakings that are happening in the authorities over them. And Lord, we again ask you, Lord, just to strengthen a heart's desire of solidarity of the police with the people, with the Constitution, and bring them into a unity, Lord. Bring, if Trudeau is bringing this martial law into being, then Lord, turn the hearts of the military and the soldiers to join in solidarity with the people, with the nation, the Constitution. Let the nation turn their back on a leader that has turned his back on them. Lord, shame him before the world. Bring down that power. Bring it down and shake it down to the ground, and show him that he is simply a man like all others. It can be taken down just like the rest of us. Lord, shake his foundations and put fear in his heart. Put the fear of God in his heart, Lord, and turn his heart to know you. Oh, Father, we'd ask that you'd send repentance into his life. Shatter the deceptions that are holding him. Open up his eyes, send light into that darkness, and shatter the things that he is trusting in and standing in. We bind those influences that are coming into Trudeau's life, that have been in his life. We bind them We stop those influences of bribery. We stop those influences of fear and threats. We bind those spirits. We command they release him right now in the name of Jesus. We tear down those strongholds in his life right now. We expose the lies. But Lord, you said that all that is hidden will be revealed in its time. And we trust you for taking that down now. We thank you, Lord, for bringing a solidarity in the people, a unity in the people, a strength of love in the people of Canada in supporting these truckers. Lord, we thank you for your spirit that you are leading this thing and empowering it with your truth and your spirit. And we just trust you, Lord. We thank you for the good things that you're doing there. And we ask, Lord, that you spread it worldwide and bring it to the United States and strengthen and give the people here the power of love to stand against the darkness and push it back in Jesus' name. We thank you for your strength, Lord. We thank you for your life that you're pouring out, your spirit that you're pouring out upon us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We believe with it. In the name of Jesus. Okay. Anyone else? Hey, Michelle. All right.
Hello. Good to be with you guys again. I love you guys. I love the faith, and just this is a wonderful group. So it's good to be with you again. I really enjoyed being with you the few times that I have in the teachings on the podcast. I've been sharing with all my friends and just so excited. You guys are a very unique group to just be so focused on that everything's by faith. I've never found a group like that, so I'm just delighted.
Amen. Well, we're delighted to have
you. Yeah, growing a lot. Thank you. Thank you.
As Clara would say, this is a lovely group.
Yes.
Amen. Okay. Let's see. Anybody else? Yeah,
yes, Michael. Oh.
Debbie's waving her hand at you too, Michael.
Do you know how to make your hand go up, Debbie? Because it's hard.
I don't know why it's not. I used to do it, and there's not a hand there. Like, there's not a way for me to do it. I don't know why. It's on chat, right?
Look on reactions.
No, reactions.
Oh, it's on reactions. Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That's all. Don't you never ever do it again, though. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Go ahead, Debbie. Missy says for you to go ahead. You say for her to go ahead. So I don't know. Just one of you go. Go ahead, Debbie.
Well, I felt the Lord impress the psalm upon me, only the first verse of Psalm 115, and then and others too, because as everyone was sharing and praying for people and God to move in ways, to move in people, and then what Claire was sharing and how he's moving there, and I thought of something been wanting to step out for the Lord, and I stepped out for the Lord, and I prayed for this man briefly, and I was sitting there thinking that as we're praying for all these God, do all these moves and move in all these ways, people's lives and in things. And I thought, I was thinking, Lord, that was just so feeble, you know. And he spoke to me and said, it's for my glory, not yours. And he just quickened me that when you think that way, then you're thinking of it being for yourself. And it's all for my glory, not your glory. And I thought, oh, yes, Lord, all for your glory. And so this verse came to me, and I only know it because there was a song to the scripture. It's Psalm 115, verse 1, and then I wanted to read from 9 to 15. I think so. So verse 1 is, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. And then 9. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And I just love those scriptures. And I was just sensing so much how in here with the conference call people, everyone here, and then in our body, local body here, just feel the Lord moving so mightily in building our faith. I as I was telling someone today, it feels like I just feel it swelling. And each time we're on here, I just feel you could feel it swelling more and more. God just swelling up and the faith is swelling. And it's all to His glory. And if we and He wants us to be so careful. He should let me know, right? You know, earlier as I was sharing, be so careful that we don't want any glory. And I know we don't. And God is very pleased with that. I feel His pleasure so much with what He's hearing and seeing and allowing Him to do it, and all for His glory. So I just know that every prayer that is being prayed, and every person we run into and touch and say something to, is purposeful. God's allowed each one of those things to happen. And He's going to be moving. Then as we pray, those prayers are going to be answered. So, because we know He causes everything to happen, everyone to come in our lives, everyone who we speak to. And so I'm just really encouraged in the Lord that, you know, that no matter how feeble we think it is, we really shouldn't think that way, because then we're thinking of ourselves, like He's let me know. But no matter how small it might be, you know, put it that way, God does a mighty work, and He gets all the glory. It's not for us, but just for Him to be glorified. So I just praise the Lord.
Thank you for that word, Debbie. That was awesome. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Woohoo. How big is your God? Amen. go for it, Sam. Glory to God. Glory to God. He is real big. He is bigger than anything else. Not only that, He is powerful. Glory to God. I mean, He's got to be powerful to bring me into the kingdom. It had to be. Whew, man. All right, Michelle, go ahead, girl.
I just wanted to comment on what she was saying. That is my mic on? Okay, I thought it was off. That last night, where my fellowship here in Sarasota, we every Valentine's Day we hand out roses. We go into the brothels, and we just hit the streets and just love on the people. And we heard just such amazing testimonies, God moving people. This one group went out, and this girl saw a woman in a parking lot. She said, go back. We got to go back there. She went back. The woman was crying out to God at that moment. Her husband, who used to be a Pentecostal minister, got hooked on crack cocaine. They just ministered to the couple. They prayed over them, delivered them by the end, and it was just an amazing thing. But that wasn't actually, I didn't mean to even talk about that, but that was a cool story that we heard last night. But just awesome things. But what was really neat is this one guy who went out on one of the teams said, you know, you just never know how he came to the Lord. He was just walking down the street in Harlem, and somebody said, hey, God loves you. And I didn't actually hear any more of his testimony. I've never brought me to the Lord with somebody saying, God loves you. So I just wanted to share that. You never know.
That's right. Praise God. Yes, Missy, I'm sorry I forgot you a while ago, but go ahead.
No, maybe not. Oh, gosh. I just wanted to share a little bit, first of all, about a little bit with my week with Kurt and Brooke, but and Blake, before that, you know, the Lord impressed me to make a confession, and then also to just share some scriptures that he's really impressed me with.
I would like to get in. I would like to get into this question that I sent everybody. So if you can make it short, it'd be fine.
Okay. Anyway, last night I was on YouTube for too long, and I haven't been on that in for quite a while, and I had to repent to the Lord for that. And I know the Lord's impressed me before, you know, concerning news and, you know, all this media. It's just in your face all the time, and it's such a temptation at times. And so the Lord brought me across a verse, and I you know, keep praying it. I think it's Psalm 119:37, and it says, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity and quicken me in your ways. And in part of the Colossians 3:5 is, put to death therefore your members which are upon the earth. You know, just that. And it lists, you know, stuff after that, but it's just like, that are upon the earth, we're to dwell in heavenly places and set our mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. And it just really impressed me. So, but anyway, I just had a really good time, and I spoke something to Brooke concerning the fact that she had taken the jab. I spoke to her concerning the mark of the beast, and I didn't directly relate it to the to her taking the jab, but you know, I said the Lord still provides. You know, He'll provide for us all. And you know, if we believe Him and all, and, you know, it's like the enemy is trying to tell me that I shouldn't have spoken to her about the mark, and that was, you know, like bringing condemnation on her and all this stuff. And so I asked the Lord for a verse, and He gave me a verse. I forget where it was, but it was in the context of, it was either feeding of the 4,000 or the 5,000 in there. And, you know, it says about that they were in a desert place, you know, and I'm like, thank you, Lord, for that. You know, it's like, you know, the enemy just doesn't want us to speak the truth and wants us to think we're being in our flesh and trying to condemn us. And I was just like, you know, thank you, Lord, for doing that and confirming to me that I was speaking what I was supposed to be speaking. And I just praise you and thank you for that, Lord. Amen.
Amen. He's a gracious God, isn't He? Loving God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Besides that, you got to stay with Blake for almost 2 weeks, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's
Yeah. She's precious. Okay. Did everybody get my email? That's the first thing I want to check, make sure that everybody got it. If no one got it, if one of you did not get it, raise your hand. Okay, great. Awesome. I finally got everybody. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Why was John the Baptist considered the greatest of prophets by Jesus. And yet, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, I want to give you another question. The question is, why was John the Baptist? That's the question. If you can answer this question here, you can answer both questions. Why was John the Baptist considered the greatest of prophets? Let me give you a hint. What is a prophet? Missy?
Well, they, well, specifically, why he was, I think, the greatest was because he was just before the Lord and he prepared the way for the Lord, you know. That's what I think as far as.
What was the message he gave?
Repent.
No.
What was the message he gave?
What was the message that John the Baptist gave? That if you can fix, you know, a prophet, I'll tell you what that, wait a minute, we got two hands up here. Let's go with those. Go, David.
Well, a prophet is an anointed speaker, and he's going to get whatever he has to say is going to be, it's either going to be like, some people think it's always future events, but it can be anything that God wants to give to his people at that time and speak to that prophet to prepare them for whatever he has in store, or a warning or blessing or whatever, but correction, but it's getting for people prepared for the time and whatever message he's got to deliver. And it'll be that's what God's prepared that person to do. So that was John. He was a prepared the way for Jesus among the people. He had a message for the people to get them prepared, to prepare their hearts for the coming Messiah. And that would be changing their hearts, repentance towards God, and getting ready to receive their Messiah at the time. That would be my thoughts. But I know a prophet will be somebody that's speaking for God and anointing from God at the time.
A message from God, right? Okay, and now we've got that established. That's good. Okay, I don't know who was next, Ray or June or Pat. Who was one of y'all? Go ahead, Ray.
Okay, me first, I guess, then June. I was going to say about being the greatest in two respects. One, he was a fulfillment of prophecy himself. And second, as it was already mentioned, he was prophesying the coming of Messiah. So those were the two aspects that I felt that would make him greatest.
Okay, that's partially, that's good. That's good, we're getting closer. All right, Pat.
So, when I just asked the Lord this morning, because I didn't really know, quite frankly. I guess I never really thought about it, but the Lord threw it in my mind in probably about 10 seconds. But this is what he gave me, and this was all the prophets up to John prophesied afar off, looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And they described many aspects of his life, so that, you know, people could be able to recognize the Messiah. when he came, but they all spoke related to a future coming event. John the Baptist, though he was under the same covenant relationship with God, or the old covenant, he was the only one that had the distinction of actually recognizing the Messiah in the flesh and pointed him out in the flesh. In other words, he wasn't speaking afar off. He was speaking of now. Here he is. This is him. And the scripture that that the Lord threw in my mind at the time was when John saw Jesus walking over the hill, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So there was that, I guess, subtle distinction in the time frame there. All the rest spoke of a coming event. He spoke of the immediate event and the person that was right before them. So,
well, don't stop there. You're on the right track. Why is he considered the least in the kingdom?
Well, that's the second part.
Yeah. Go ahead. You got the first two parts.
So the reason, why would the least of the kingdom of heaven be greater than John? And that's because the least in the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of the new covenant relationship with God, we have the same distinction of being able to introduce the world to the Savior with our words, but much more than being able to introduce the world through our words, we have the additional, I guess, ability of having been born, reborn from above by his word, and have received the Spirit of Jesus within us. So we have the privilege of not only speaking about Jesus, but allowing Jesus to speak through us, to reveal himself through us. And the scripture that that the Lord gave me related to that was Matthew 1:23, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted "God with us." And then in Colossians 1:26, "Even the mystery that hath been hid for ages and generations, but now it has been manifested unto his saints." In other words, that mystery was hidden, but only alluded to through the prophets of the old covenant and all the way up through until the time of Jesus. But now it has been manifested to his saints, to whom God was pleased to make known the riches of his glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So I was kind of blown away by it this morning, but that's the gist of it that I got from the Lord. And that's what makes us in this new covenant relationship, even the least of us, greater than the Old Covenant prophets is because of Christ in us, the hope of glory. So that was all.
Amen. That is excellent. Yes, the Old Testament prophets were saying, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. John said, he's here, but he's walking away. And we have him here. He's here. That's why we are greater than John the Baptist. Oh, my, Patrick, that went too quick. That wasn't a very good question. I'm going to have to figure out something else. No, that's good. That's good. Thank you. How many of you had that? Don't raise your hand. Okay, go ahead. Who was first? Ray and June. I'll pick y'all.
I was planning to answer the second part of your question. The scriptures tell us that even in the womb, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the only time I read in the scriptures that someone was already filled with the Holy Spirit. But as the scriptures tell us, no flesh can enter into the kingdom of God. So I say John the Baptist was flesh, and that's why he would be considered the least of those in the kingdom of God. I mean, that's my understanding.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Julie.
Oh, Missy had her hand up. Did you change your mind, sister? Okay. Well, I don't know. The Lord just, I was thinking, meditating on that, and I agree with everything Pat said. He did a great job. Praise the Lord. And I was looking at Malachi. I don't know how much time there was before the Old Testament prophets and when Jesus came. I'm not sure how many generations were there, but the last verse in Malachi, last couple of verses, it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse." And in Luke, when it talks about, you know, as the birth of Jesus, what was the birth of John first? And it says in 76, where John finally gets to speak and he's prophesying. He says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, when the day shall dawn upon us from on high," or it's the day spring will visit us, "to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness till the day of his manifestation to Israel." And I just thought, it's like, you know, John the Baptist was born for that purpose. That was his purpose. And he was never, nobody knew him, you know, from that time. He was, until he was, you know, walked into the, onto the scene, you know, prophesying and, you know, declaring, preaching repentance and, you know, for the forgiveness of your sin and preparing the way and all that stuff. And that was what he was called to do. And he was, you know, he was a great prophet. I mean, this is the first prophet of that day who was, you know, who was making this is it. And, you know, you think about the Pharisees and, you know, the learned people of Israel that day, they should have known that was him and the day of his coming. And, but what was that scripture, Michael, that we were looking at? Was it Matthew 11? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Matthew 11, 9 through 13.
Because it was saying, when I read before that, that whole chapter, beginning chapter is, "Now when John heard who was in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, 'Are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another?' And Jesus answered them, 'Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is he who takes no offense at me. And then Jesus asked the questions to the crowds, like, what did you go out in the wilderness to behold? You know, and he told them right there, he's like, you know, this is he, this is he, this is the prophet. This is the prophet of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare the way before thee. It's, you know, he was telling them, and if they had been listening, they would have known. It's like, you know, they know the scriptures, they're all looking for the Messiah, you know, and he told them right up front who he was. Anyhow, it was a neat little study. Thanks, Michael.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Greg.
No, Mr. Nelson was before me.
Okay, go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
All right, that's no big deal. I kind of wanted to struggle with that a little bit about, let me get my hand lowered.
Yeah, I generally do that, but that's fine.
All right. But I didn't quite understand why he would be called the least in the kingdom of God. So I actually got on there and did a little searching on the net. Actually, I wanted to have some ideas what that meant, because, you know, you think of John the Baptist and he was so bold. He went out and preached Christ, didn't back down. He didn't take any glory for himself, and stood up to the Pharisees. Not that we're trying to stand up the Pharisees, but I think he stood up to them mostly because the people that were coming to him were repenting and the Pharisees weren't. So they didn't have a heart for Jesus, you know, where the other people, the common people did. They knew they weren't right with the Lord and they needed something in their life to be changed. And they were looking for that, you know, looking for the repentance and the newness of life that Christ would bring. And I was thinking that you see that such a bold ministry that changed people and changed people's hearts and gets them prepared for the Lord. You're thinking, wow, why would it be so least in the kingdom? And then, you guys gave a good explanation that, well, because now after Christ's death, we get Christ to live in us and we have the Holy Spirit and we're walking in newness of life. We've got that. But in heaven, there's no sin. There's no fallen nature. Here there is. We still have that flesh nature. And even John the Baptist needed a Savior. You know, no flesh has walked this earth without sin other than Jesus. So he still needed a Savior. And when anybody finally, when they get into heaven, that sin nature is gone. So whoever's least in the kingdom is going to shine brighter than John did on earth, because they're showing the glory of God. They would be in the glory of God. But we do know that there was Abraham's bosom still. So I don't know how that all works out. If there were people in heaven yet, I don't know. That'd be another question. Was anybody in heaven before Jesus went up? Was anybody in heaven before Jesus went up? But anyway, that's just another question.
They were in the holding tank.
Yeah.
When Jesus went down there and set them free is when he went to heaven. All right, let's see. Greg, go ahead.
Should I defer to Julie first, though? Because, you know. Oh, okay. All right. all right. I was thinking about this the other day when you mentioned it. And I was just having a look at the scripture again, because I'm reading it and it doesn't say that John was the greatest prophet. It says in what I'm looking at the moment that among them that are born of women, which is pretty much all of us, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. So I don't think it's even restricting to the prophets. It's like everyone who came before there's none greater than John the Baptist, but you know, this is a notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, I'm not necessarily sure that when he speaks of the kingdom of heaven, it's talking about, you know, the sweet by and by up there somewhere, because the kingdom of heaven came to earth in Jesus. And those who, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become smallest sons of God. We're in that kingdom of heaven. Or those who receive him are in that kingdom of heaven. And the access and the place that we have there then is greater than what John and the prophets and all who were born of women before. That's how I was reading it. And you may cover that a bit yourself, Pat, but me finish. Over to you, Julie.
Thank you. Thank you. That's kind of what I was thinking too. And he was saying born of women. And we are all born of women, but also the church is the woman, and we're all born of the church, you know, as far as being born into the church or born of woman. And Jesus has said in other parts in the Gospels, you know, about, and the disciples were talking about who is the greatest in the kingdom or amongst them. And Jesus gathered them all and he put a child in the midst of them. And he said, the children are the greatest, right? And I was just thinking and Jesus said in Matthew 11, where it says, and blessed is he who takes no offense at me. And, you know, little children believe everything. It's like, you know, they believe what they hear. They're very, very innocent in that, you know, they don't get offended with that kind of stuff. And it's humility and it's, in serving, Jesus said, you know, when he was washing the disciples' feet, you know, we're supposed to serve one another. And it's those are the great, I was thinking of that as being the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, of those who serve, who are like childlike in faith and born of the church, or born in the church, born into the church, born of woman, are going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's all.
Thanks. Amen. That's another good point. All right. Anyone else? Where's Andrea? There you are. Do you have any thoughts on this, Andrea?
Well, I was told once that, you know, John the Baptist never really did any signs and wonders or miracles, but Elijah did. And Elijah's coming again. So I think we're going to have a kind of like a John the Baptist ministry in the future that's going to have an Elijah that does the miracles. And you know, I just, Ben came over and I told him we were going to be doing this today, but he went home because he's got to wake up pretty early for work. And he came up with Luke 1:17. So I'll read that. And he says, I'll actually read 16 and 15 too. For he shall be great before the Lord, and shall drink no wine nor strong drink. You know, in Proverbs, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a rage. So that might be his kind of lifestyle that he had, that he didn't have rage or mockery. And shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And many of the sons of Israel shall be turned unto the Lord their God, and he shall go before his face in the spirit and power of Elijah, and turn the fathers' hearts to the children, and the disobedient to walk in the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared for him. So that's what I got. And I thought about the future Elijah coming, and it's going to be really great to have God move like that again. It's probably going to be one of the big first things that he does in the tribulation time. And so we could learn from this example here. But John the Baptist is going to be great again. He's going to announce perhaps where you can get information about the Lord, and to turn them all back again to the Lord, to have one church again. And that's what he did then, and of course it has to be repeated for us. Yeah, so that's about it for me. Yeah.
All right, thank you, Andrew. Okay, Debbie.
I did it right. Anyway, I just had a question. Could your question have to do with, and he said, he must decrease, I must decrease, and he must increase? You know, as was already mentioned about being as little children, being as one of these children, you're great in the kingdom of heaven. And John said, I must decrease, and he must increase.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
That was mentioned or not.
And he did. In his people, he increased as well. We walk and talk in Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians 3:18.
Yeah, that kind of even sounds like our cross, doesn't it? Like how we would have to magnify the Lord to other people and tell them things that they might not have heard.
Yeah.
Well,
great. All right, job. Patrick.
Yeah, Joe brought up a good thought there in the chat. It kind of matches what Andrew was talking about. But John the Baptist prepares the way for the coming of the Lord in the man-child government. He baptized the man-child Jesus, which is kind of I'd let Joe talk about that, what he was thinking, but that's kind of a unique thought. You know, how does that fit into the pattern of where we're at in these days, and what will that, you know, we have a pretty good understanding of what the man child looks like, and the various patterns in scripture, and then what the bride, that was a totally new concept to me that David brought out. But what does this John the Baptist body look like, and what will be the baptism of the man child? You know, how does that pattern work out in our time here? What were you thinking, Joe? You threw that comment out.
John already got his time in the wilderness when after he was born 6 months before Jesus, got his time in his wilderness. God sent him forth to bring repentance, to bring in man-child Jesus as a type for us, Jesus coming in us, bringing repentance to what's coming forth. What I'm thinking is that's all.
It's good. It's a good thought. I mean, it has me thinking now. Where, you know, how will we recognize that person, you know?
Who you talking about, John the Baptist?
Yes.
Yeah, that John the Baptist ministry is going on right now.
Yeah. Repentance.
It's repentance. There are ministries out there now that repent. Repent. Jesus is coming. Now, a lot of them don't understand that he's coming in us. I'm not, you know, I'm talking about in God's people, in the man-child ministry. But there are repentance ministries out there that are hollering, repent, repent, Jesus is coming.
That portion of it I see, but I'm not sure how that ties in with the baptism of the Spirit. Is that baptism of the Spirit pattern? Okay, anointing?
Yes.
The anointing of the second.
That's the latter rain anointing that the man-child would receive, you know. So.
Interesting. That'll have me thinking for a while.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting times that we're in. I believe David and I have talked about this, that the man-child anointing is upon us shortly, and the bride. Go ahead, David.
This is quick. I was just thinking, Saul was anointed by Samuel. David was anointed by Samuel. And then I remember Jehu was anointed by Elisha. So we have these prophets always standing in anointing the kings and giving them their ministry, giving them their anointing for to be the king over Israel. So that's why John the Baptist had to be had to anoint Jesus. That would be part of his ministry, to make him the king of Israel.
Well, when he come up out of the baptism, that's when John saw the dove come down and alight upon Jesus, which was the Holy Spirit, that was baptized in the Holy Spirit then. So that's what you're going to see. Go ahead, Ray. I caught you.
I was just giving Dave a thumbs up on that one. That was good. Yeah, that was
yeah, good. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of questions that are about the man-child ministry. And the only thing that has to take place before he comes on the scene is the anointing of the latter rain. And everything else has been already fulfilled. Go ahead, Julie. Did you have something?
Yeah, just about the repentance thing and the ministries that have been out there, you know, telling people to repent and stuff. You know, it's to get people to turn from their wicked ways, to get their hearts right before God, because the judgments are here, they're coming, and they're going to get worse. And it's to get people to really start seeking the Lord. And, you know, I mean, I just know God's working in all of us, and he's using our prayers, and we are hearing testimonies about the Lord moving and stuff, which is just all what that repentance movement and, you know, praying for repentance and praying for revival and that kind of thing, that is preparing the way, make way for the coming of the Lord, because he is coming. And so many people are deceived into thinking how he's coming too. And they're still going to be at a loss for words, and they're going to be very surprised and disappointed and hurt, and all kinds of things are going to be exposed. Anyhow, it's just God is gracious, and he's wise, and he's got a purpose in all of that too. And so I just thank and praise the Lord for every day, almost. It's like that he gave me eyes to see and ears to hear, and he started working in me when he did that, get to be part of this and not be one of them that's going to be surprised so much, if you know what I mean. So I just thank God that we are where we are, and we have the understanding that we do, and that we keep praying. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Carol.
I just want to add this scripture that it kind of fits with the kingdom. So when John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that come after me is mightier than I. So that mightiness is in us. That mightiness of God is in us. I just gotta repeat that, because that is what God is doing in each one of us. And then he says, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, he shall baptize all of us, right? And the future ones with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So that is where that power and that beauty and that transformation comes from, that that part John didn't partake of. He did his part, but the kingdom kids, the children, us that are being formed, that is what we are, that's what we have, and are learning how to be led by the Spirit of God and his truth. And it's magnificent. Anyway, so that one, I wanted to just add that one with all of this tonight, which has been phenomenal. Yeah.
It has been. Okay, we're out of time. Boy, I could go another hour, couldn't we? Man, this is awesome. I want to give you one thing. She mentioned something about being led by the Spirit. Who wrote the Bible? Spirit of God. So if we know the Word of God, we keep studying the Word of God and do what the Word of God says, you're being led by the Spirit. And to be led with a word from God, you have to understand the Word of God in order to understand you're being led by the Spirit. Does that make sense? Okay. I just want to leave you with that. Maybe we could talk about that. Let's see, Justin is coming on Thursday night. Oh, that's right. I got to make that announcement. Lord, bless Justin for Thursday night's message. Let it be a blessing to him and to everybody else. And I thank you for it, Father. Fill him with your Holy Spirit, more so than he is right now. And I thank you, Father, for bringing on a message that'll bless the whole fellowship and the people who listen. Because there's many people who listen to the outreach that aren't on here. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless him, Lord. Amen. All right. Good night, y'all. Hey, Isaac. Hang on just a second here.